This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
There it is. It's a home with Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Yeah. Here we are, homeroom, Johnny Lupinacci, Jess, producer, my two friends. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing great, Tim. What a great way to start the week. You know, I love seeing you all. And then it's a special Monday because this homeroom includes, well, I'll let you spill the beans for the listeners, but it's a special one. So
it's always special.
Jump right into it.
Yeah, we have an incredible guest. What would Matt Damon's mom say?
Wait, what? You want to know what my mom would say? All right, well, just ask her.
Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, welcome back to Busted Pencils. How are you?
Well, it's great to see all three of you and to be together with you for the first time since the election. I'm looking forward to talking with you about it. It's been an unsettling time for me. I've definitely done a lot of reading and processing and thinking, you know what that is? Thinking about all the different aspects of the situation and this time that we're in. It's not a simple, you can't reduce it to one idea. It's extremely complicated. I think it's helpful for us to try to name what the different aspects of the situation are and the influences. But, you know, nobody really knows a lot at this moment in time about where we are and where we're going.
I love how you did that, because we were going to ask you, too, if you could name this moment. We've had guests, Dr. Kevin Kumashiro, Bill Ayers on, who've been using that moment. So the fact that you're kind of looking at that. Yeah, it's, and so in one way to name the moment is go, well, I can't really do it with one word or one answer, but it is complicated. And you say, you know, we haven't talked to you since before the election, and before the election, we were hopeful. We were joyful. We were just, you know, kind of running. I remember Jess, we were so excited. We were thinking, oh, this is going to be great. Mm-hmm. And then and, you know, and part of that, Nancy, as you said, I mean, it's just like a bewilderment was a sense of how I felt of going, wow. So what do we do? So Nancy, what are you thinking? Help us understand, you know, that the day after where you were, and now here we are, you know, less than 30 days away from inauguration.
You know, I've thought about my friend Howard Zinn many times. I've missed him terribly through this, because he would have, I'm telling you, he would have found some way to be funny. I don't know how. And also he would have been positive, because that was his middle name and there was no getting around that. So he would have focused on the fact that half the people did not vote for Trump. He would focus on the fact that the majority of people who elected Trump is really still a small percentage of the total population, because, you know, only 2/3 of the people or less vote anyway. And so presidents get elected by a much smaller majority of people than sometimes it's portrayed as. And also, he would have emphasized, like he always did, that taking the long view and understanding history helps us to cope with any moment we're in. That's a difficult moment in history, which this one certainly is. Although I must say, I think the conditions that we, Howie's been gone now for 11 years or so, I think the conditions we have right now are unique.
Yeah.
And we haven't had them before, and Howie didn't see them. So I can't just rest on the advice that he would share with me through all of our many conversations. For one thing, we have a greater, you know, wealth inequality in the United States than we've ever had. You know, these kinds of statistics I used to quote about El Salvador and Nicaragua. We have like three people who have more than 50% of the wealth, more three people have more wealth than 50% of the population. Come on.
Right.
And then on top of that, we have social media that Howie never saw at all. That's played a huge role in so many different directions. And there's so much misinformation and disinformation that gets disseminated because of that. Even the information flow industry has changed so much, it's hard for us to get a handle on it. But a lot of people believe phenomenal conspiracies. But even in people in Congress and even Trump himself, you know, believing he won the election over Biden, et cetera. I mean, these things are nuts, some of the things. And I know people who believe in conspiracy theories and they tell me the theories and I'm aghast, you know, and I always say, where did you hear it? And they say Fox News, but they take it as fact. And then the other aspect that I don't hear people talking about, maybe they are, and maybe you guys are, but I think some of what we see is a reflection of our education system that has been taken over by the right for the last 25 years, and people haven't learned how to think critically, how to hear a fact and not take it at face value, but dig under it to see what are the possible ways to look at that, or what is the contradictory information, or where is that information coming from, and what might the biases be, and all of those things we need to do as thinking citizens.
And we took that out, Nance. You made me think back to our first meeting, 2010, Washington, D.C., that protest to reclaim our schools, save our schools. Matt gave one of the keynotes, and you did too. And we thought at that moment, we saw it. We saw the intentionality of stripping the curriculum of those deep, meaningful opportunities where people get to engage. You know, people are like, no, we're just trying to increase math and we're increasing literacy scores. We said, no, you're stripping away the soul of public education, its foundational commitment to preparing democratic, critical citizens. That's what's at risk here. And yeah, I think when you point that out, go, here we are now in 2024. And really, too, we can point out that this has been going on in earnest since 1983, A Nation at Risk, even longer. The intentionality of scrubbing the soul away from public education. Is it any wonder, because 85% of the population is in public schools, that we've now ended up with a potential ability in, and I don't want to say, is it a miseducated? Because it's not uneducated, but to realize that we have stripped out the heart and soul of the curriculum in a way that the ability to have deep conversations of complexity, of disagreement, where we dig into these, they just don't exist anymore. And it's not surprising to see my uncle at the Thanksgiving table with a full-on conspiracy theory that, you know, pushes him in a standpoint where he looks at, you know, 13 of his relatives as crazy and that he's the only sane one in there. And you go, how did this happen?
I experienced exactly the same thing at the Thanksgiving table. So then it comes to how, look, we are in a country right now that is severely polarized. And thinking has become black and white. And that's a very primitive way to look at the world, because it's complicated and there aren't easy answers. I mean, we'd love to have them, but there just aren't. I do think, you know, some of the things Bernie Sanders has said about the inequality and the pent up frustration and the feeling I think a lot of people in the country have that they've been left behind, and even resent, you know, the elite, the education elite, the political elite, they're left out. And some of this vote was that, just being pissed off about that. Mm-hmm. And hope, just, it's like, just sick of the status quo. And unfortunately, Kamala couldn't separate herself from that perception, obviously. At the same time, she is actually a member of the status quo. And I think people want change. I think Howie would have agreed that what we need is a leader who speaks like Bernie, but's 20 years younger.
Yeah.
You know?
like Johnny Lupinacci.
Yeah, hey. Like you, Johnny.
I don't know about
you,
that.
You, Tim, one of you guys, come on, get out there and run.
Yeah, well, we do talk about that here on Busted Pencils. We're always encouraging educators to be thinking about, you know, putting their voice to public service in that capacity. They are such great leaders in our communities already and making such change through their classrooms. Nancy, that brings me to this too, like thinking about our teachers out there, thinking about all the folks who are now in the classroom, you know, any sage words of wisdom for our teacher listeners out there who are also like part of naming this complicated moment.
You know, I went to an event recently with the staff from Rethinking Schools and the Zen Education Project, and the whole evening was focusing on the creative work they're all doing. And this was a week after the election and nobody talked about it. Hmm. And all they were talking about is the work they're doing. That's what we, Johnny, that's what we have to do. We have to focus on the work that we're doing and what we know is the right kind of work that we've always been doing in education, and we have to keep on doing it. We're going to have some more obstacles because Trump really is going to go after, you know, an inclusive, what he calls DEI, you know, or critical race theory, whatever you want to call it. But they very much want to ban books and take out diversity in its many expressive forms from education and critical thinking. So we have to be on alert, man. We have to be on alert and do what we can with the support of the networks we have. You guys are one really critical network that you're providing a support system for all the listeners who care about progressive education. And the Zen Project, Howie would be so thrilled if he knew that 100,000 teachers are getting curriculum materials that they wouldn't otherwise have in a lot of the red states. Mm-hmm. So there are things we can do during this time, but it's not going to be easy.
You made me think of that too, and I kind of have this question. I'm going to loop it together here. You know, how did we get here? The Democrats, you know, they're you know, they participated in the attack on public education, Nance, we did that. You know, you're saying this. Is there an opportunity here to do, because you said, you know, my neighborhood, 50%, a lot of the people here voted for Trump. We had this weird phenomenon that we've been pointing out on the show, you know, particularly like in Kentucky, a great illustration where, you know, 76% of the population voted down vouchers. In fact, so in other words, voted for their public schools, but then 80-20 went for Trump. And the reality of that kind of like, you know, what is going on with that? And to realize, well, you know, I mean, this is the thing. Democrats beating up on public schools, that was not a winning position. Now, as we're coming in and going, you know, you see, you hear the kind of looking back, the 2020, how do we get back, you're saying all the Zen Education Project, Rethinking Schools, is there an opportunity for Democrats to drop the standardized going after teachers, blaming schools, and really launch into saying diversity, equity, and inclusion is defined by good teaching, deep history, the ability of our public schools to be that foundational movement in communities where, like in rural Kentucky, 75% of their population said, you're not touching our public schools. And realizing that, how we can launch this into an effort that says, actually, we know a lot of people love their public schools. Democrats, what are you going to do to harness that power?
You know, it's been one of the tragedies to me is that the Democrats basically joined and even escalated the education reforms that were started by Republicans. Well, Obama was such a tragedy that he really, as Diane Ravitch said, did No Child Left Behind on steroids with his education plan. I don't understand why the Democrats have not been able to support quality social justice education. It doesn't make sense to me. It never has. And I don't get that. Even progressive Democrats, they've never spoken out. Even Bernie Sanders, they've never spoken out about the kind of education we know is best for all kids and for a democratic society.
Well, I think on that one too, we've heard this is that, well, you know, because some of that criticism then that would come into that deep kinds of learning, it would go up against the quote ruling class of which Democrats and Republicans belong to in that sense. And that was that missing going, you know, it's only so far we're going to go in criticizing the status quo.
Yeah.
And Democrats aren't part of criticizing quote the status quo. They're just not part of that. And guess what, though? They lost because now they seem so disconnected from the reality of our neighbors. They're just not connected in that way.
I think if you wanted to say one core point, it would be that the Democratic Party abandoned the working class or became disconnected from working people. And I think we saw that in this election. And it's sad, but it unfortunately, they're tied in so much to big money, corporate money, just like the Republicans. Of course, you know this. I mean, big corporations give money to both parties because as long as they can keep the power in place and the status quo as it is, that's what they want. So, yeah, the Democratic Party has got to do some deep soul searching. And I don't know if they're capable of it because it means giving up some things and not holding on to power and money that keeps them comfortable, but they are not serving the needs of the majority of Americans.
Johnny, drop that number, man.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to join this conversation, please, listeners, join us. You can always leave us a voicemail or drop us a question or a comment at 608-557-8577. That's 608-557-8577. We love when you join the conversation. Wow, it's great to have Nancy here, Tim. This is a great conversation. Jess, thanks for all you do. This is awesome. You know, I'm thinking about this, especially Nancy and Tim, as you're both talking about, you know, we're not just picking on one administration here. We're really looking at decades and decades of federal policy, nation at risk, into No Child Left Behind, into the Every Student Succeeds Act, right? And looking closely at Race to the Top being No Child Left Behind on steroids. Right. And where are we? What is it going to be? And of course, Busted Pencils here, fully led education talk with education champions like Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Tim, it's such an honor to have this conversation and to keep having it because I love what Nancy shared today. Those of us on the front lines, like the great teachers participating in the Zen Project and working with Rethinking Schools and all you great teachers out there who are doing that work, that we focus on that creative and generative energy that is what everything that democracy stands for needs. So we need more of that. We need to celebrate that at every opportunity we have. So I love that point of action. Let's keep telling the story and keep doing the good work and demanding then from those people we elect to leadership that they better represent the needs of our community, and especially the needs of children and families in our diverse communities through stronger public education. It's that simple. You want a strong democracy, you strengthen public schools. So let's look to where that's happening. So teachers and classrooms doing that, keep up that good work. And remember, you can join the conversation at 608-557-8577.
Well, I appreciate that. Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, I know we're going to have you come back for the developing story there.
I'd like to talk with you about it. And the reason is it is a developing story, and it's actually exemplary of everything we've just been talking about.
And what we're referring to here is that some parents are suing. And again, this is a unique case. The Science of Reading Push, they are going after Lucy Calkins, Pinellas, and actually
it's Gaysu Pinnell and Irene Fountas. And I just like to say Irene is a close colleague of mine. I was on the faculty when we brought her there, and we were thrilled to have her there because she's a brilliant educator. But all of this polarization we're seeing with everything else is happening right in our field. And we do need to talk about it more in depth because it's wrong. It's really scary, and we have to really address it head on.
Yeah, and this really is an attack on. We said that the depth, the complexity of education and the simplifying and really stripping down and sterilizing it. But, you know, unique case. So we're talking about going after then the researchers, the curriculum developers and the companies around balanced literacy and some of the whole language and essentially saying a generation of students can't read because of these researchers, these curriculum developers, and it's frightening. Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, you got look like you got one more comment there, but
I'm just going to say attacking these individuals when we have a whole country of inequality, systemic underlying inequalities and inequalities in schools vastly and in public schools, and we're going to blame the individual people who love kids and develop curriculum to try to help them read. It's a crazy world, you guys. It's crazy.
It's a crazy, crazy world. Well, Matt Damon's mom, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, thanks for busting pencils with us again.
Yeah, thanks for letting me do it, guys. I enjoy it. Thank you.
Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already.
And now for your moment of zen. I am convinced that imprisonment is a way of pretending to solve the problem of crime. It does nothing for the victims of crime, but perpetuates the idea of retribution, thus maintaining the endless cycle of violence in our culture.
Thanks, everyone, for starting your week right with Homeroom. Stick around for class to be in session this Wednesday at 6 a.m. with Dr. Jill Underley, Superintendent of Public Instruction in Wisconsin. Don't miss free throws and face-offs this Friday. And, of course, a full hour of pencil busting this Saturday at 3 p.m. across all Civic Media Talk stations. Now go out there and keep busting pencils.